Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And a special hello to Jacob, who will be leading our service this morning. And a very warm welcome to anybody who is here for the first time today. I hope you'll join us for tea and coffee in the Mayo Hall after the service, where you'll be very welcome, as of course you will be at our interactive service at 11:30 and reflective worship at 6:30 this evening. I'm sad to tell you that Irene Sutton died yesterday morning, having gone into hospital on Monday. Understandably, there are no funeral arrangements yet. Other pastoral news. Darren Macy has been in St. George's Hospital for an operation, but she's now home. Also home now from hospital are Dot Dixon and Brenda Crump. And congratulations to Liz and Alistair Borthwick, are they here, on having become, Alistair is, on having become grandparents for the first time, to a granddaughter, Naomi. The November Church news has now appeared, and you can collect your copy in the vestibule. And finally, Steve would like to say a few words.
What are you doing on Tuesday morning? We're having activity mornings on Monday and Tuesday. We've got plenty of helpers on Monday, but we would be so glad of a couple of extra people on Tuesday if you were free. We're going through the Bible alphabetically, characters in the Bible. Monday is Adam and Abraham. If you come on Tuesday, you can help us discuss Bartimaeus.
Start again.
Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glory and his name forever and ever.
Sorry.
Our first hymn is Morning Has Broken.
Thank you.
We join to pray. Gracious and almighty God, we praise you. You alone are sovereign over creation. You alone created the heavens and the earth. You alone sustain and hold all things together. You alone are the Redeemer and Recreator. Lord, we thank you for the love you show us every day, for the gifts that you bless us with, and for the relationships you honor us with. Lord, we thank you. We confess to you that we have sinned. We sometimes disregard the amazing things you do for us. We dismiss the miracles you show us, and we let our egos prevent us from showing love to others. Give us the will to love you, Lord. Teach us to help others. Inspire us to look after your creation. And give us the humility we need to pray. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer is truly amazing. It's the only prayer given to us by our Lord Jesus. And it's a framework for how all Christians should pray. But it is not a rule. We all have different ways of praying. Some of us pray silently, others vocal, some sitting, others kneeling. Some of us dance and others clap our hands. But in prayer, we have communion with our Lord. How does it feel when you pray? What thoughts come to mind when you are praying? Today, we explore two different attitudes when praying. We now sing our next hymn, Give Me Joy in My Heart, which is number 523. Our reading will be taken from Luke 18, verses 9 to 14.
You can find this on page 103 in the Pew Bibles, apart from on the screen. Jesus also told this parable to people who were sure of their own goodness and despised everyone else. Once there were two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed. I thank you, God, that I am not greedy, dishonest, or an adulterer like everyone else. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. I fast 2 days a week, and I give you a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and would not even raise his face to heaven, but beat on his breast and said, God, have pity on me, a sinner. I tell you, said Jesus, the tax collector and not the Pharisee was in the right with God when he went home. For all who make themselves great will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be great.
Thank you. Many of us are familiar with this parable, but like many of the teachings of our Lord Jesus, this one has a deeper meaning. This parable challenges many of our own preconceptions about how religion works. And it reminds us that our knowledge and experience still isn't great enough to comprehend the majesty of our Lord. So now, as we try and understand this parable, we need to look at these two characters in more detail. The Pharisees in the time of Jesus were respected by the whole of the Jewish community because they dedicated their lives to the laws of Moses and keeping the teaching. The tax collectors, in direct contrast to them, were considered to be crooks. They were employed by the Roman Empire and were given an area in which they were allowed to collect taxes. For this reason, the tax collectors were despised by Jews, because they themselves were also Jews, and they were also thought of as traitors. Now, we join the story when both a Pharisee and a tax collector enter the temple. The Pharisee in this reading is very confident. He may have been true to his word and done all of the things that he said he did. So as he walked to the altar, he thought that he was right with God. And so he stands confidently and boldly prays. His prayer started on a great note. He acknowledged and thanked God. But where his prayer took a turn for the worst was when he started to list his good points, and even went as far as to exalt himself by denouncing the tax collector. So due to his own ego, instead of being a prayer of gratification to the Lord God Almighty, it became a prayer of self-glorification. The tax collector may have also been true to his form. And looking at him next to the Pharisee, he would have looked like a criminal. So he stays away from the altar. And he doesn't even look up to heaven. But he beats on his chest and cries out, "God, have pity on me, a sinner." The pain in his words are reflective of his desperation. But he doesn't pray because he feels sorry for himself. And he doesn't pray for God to make his life easier. But he prays for forgiveness. The parable concludes that the tax collector went home right with God. Because unlike the Pharisee, the tax collector admits that he is not perfect. And he humbles himself before God. In this parable, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't be happy with the things that we do. And likewise, he is not saying that what we do in the name of God will go unrewarded. What he is saying is that when we look at our own achievements and start judging others, something is wrong. Throughout his ministry, Jesus emphasized that we are all equal. Men and women, adults and children. We are all human. And the different classes, ethnic groups, and other divisions that we have built for ourselves on earth means absolutely nothing to God. In both of these characters in the parable, we can see a small part of ourselves. Sometimes we may take pride in the things that we do. And sometimes we can be beaten down by the hurdles of life and feel sorry for ourselves. But what Jesus is telling us is that we need humility. Otherwise, we can fall into a desperate spiral. When asked by his disciples, "What is the most important commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And he continued, "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." If we think of ourselves as better than other people, we break this second commandment. Because we cannot hope to truly love those who we don't think are truly worthy. During his earthly ministry, Jesus taught on several occasions that in humbling ourselves, we are giving ourselves to God. For example, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells his disciples that the first will be last, and the last will be first. And again, in the Gospel of Matthew, when questioned by his disciples, Jesus tells them, "Whoever wants to be a leader among you must become your servant." These are not only words, but are expressive of the life that Jesus led. After being questioned, he even went onto the floor and cleaned the feet of his disciples. Directly challenging their already preconceptions that they want to be served, not to serve. In today's culture, many of us carry the same thoughts as the disciples. And to serve other people unconditionally is really unsettling. An interesting example comes from a woman named Alison. In her words, "I was parked in front of the leisure centre, opposite the bus stop, and was wiping off my car. I had just come from the car wash and was waiting for my husband to get out of work. Coming my way from across the car park was what society would consider a down and out person. From the looks of him, he had no car, no home, no clean clothes, and no money. There are times when you feel generous, but there are other times that you just don't want to be bothered. This was one of those don't want to be bothered times. I hope he doesn't ask me for any money," I thought to myself. He didn't. He came and sat on the curb in front of the bus stop. But he didn't look like he could even have enough money to ride the bus. After a few minutes, he spoke. "That's a very nice car," he said. I said, "Thanks," and continued wiping off my car. He sat there quietly as I worked. The expected plea for money never came. As the silence between us widened, something inside said, "Ask him if he needs any help." I was sure that he would say yes, but I held true to the inner voice. He answered in three simple but profound words that I shall never forget. I expected nothing but an outstretched, dirty hand. But he spoke three words that shook me. "Do you need any help?" I asked. "Don't we all?" he replied. I was feeling high and mighty, successful and important, above a homeless person in the street, until those three words hit me like a double-barrel shotgun. "Don't we all?" I realized something. I needed help. Maybe not for the bus or a place to sleep, but I needed help. I reached into my handbag and gave him not only enough for the bus, but enough to get a warm meal and shelter for the day. Often, in our daily lives, We judge people without even knowing it. We see a hoodie in the street, and we instantly think of a criminal. We see a person wearing a suit, and we think success. But stereotypes can close us from the message that Jesus wanted us to give. The challenge for Christians is to know how to be happy with the things that we do without looking down on other people in the process. But in our society, it is easier said than done. From talking to many people that I have met, there seems to be a certain stereotype associated with being a Christian. The most common is that Christians are perfect. And yeah, being considered perfect doesn't seem so bad. But as we move down the list, we see that people think that we are judgmental. That we are hypocrites. And we belong to a selective group that is inaccessible to outsiders. I have an experience of this myself. This is my testimony. Last year, I went to visit a church nearby just to get an experience of a different style of worship. Initially, when I got there, I felt comfortable. And the minister there seemed happy to see me. However, when I met the congregation, it was a completely different story. I heard them say in muffled yet understandable voices, "Who is he? What is he doing here? I've never seen him before. I don't know him." Needless to say, these were unexpected remarks. But one stood out for me. one remark shocked me. One of them said, "He doesn't belong here." I thought to myself, what? He doesn't belong here. I couldn't believe what I just heard. Nobody has the right to judge anybody else's faith. But the teachings of our Lord Jesus were of unity and not segregation. In that church, I didn't feel welcomed. I felt alienated. And instead of leaving with a renewed and inspired point of view, I left praying for any person who would be unfortunate enough to start their journey in Christianity in one of these churches. We need to challenge this problem in the Kingston United Reformed Church. That we don't become a club that is catering only to the selective few and closed off from the world. We need to continue to welcome those who are alone, to listen to those in need, to comfort those who are scared, and to receive those who are lost. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, thank you for all you have given us. But now, Lord, we need your guidance, your courage, your humility to break social barriers and love others as you continue to love us. unconditionally. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn is Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. In the Kingston United Reformed Church, we have many projects. One of them is that we annually fill shoeboxes with gifts. Liz Barlett will tell us a few words.
Today is the climax of the church's campaign to produce boxes of Christmas gifts, which will be received by families in Romania, Moldova, Albania, Ukraine, and Bulgaria. Some weeks ago, we heard Heather Matthew, a volunteer with Link Romania, speaking about the experience of delivering the boxes in time for last Christmas. Have we got any questions? Yes, here we are. Here are some of the photos. I can't remember if she showed us. I don't think she did. I don't think we had a PowerPoint presentation in here. But these are, you could just play them through. Some of the rather faint, I'm afraid, pictures of the people that they delivered the shoeboxes to. In some, you see a volunteer there. There's the group of them. I think you can just see them. Some children opening a box. I think they were another family. A That's it, is it? Yes, thank you. Sorry they're so faint, but it gives a faint impression of their trip. Our boxes this year have been contributed by church members and also by a number of other groups people who use the church, people who come to the foyer, people who come to the dancing classes. Some of them come from your friends and neighbours, I know. There's the Caterpillar Nursery, I know, who contribute through Rosemary. Many others join in our efforts. So, in fact, you see here some of those that have already been given, and you're going to bring up some more, I know. Filling them has needed imagination, care, and money. They're an acknowledgement of our own wealth, a way of reaching out to people who lack many of life's necessities, and a symbol of God's love shared throughout the world. We'll now just receive any more boxes that have been brought in that we haven't had yet.
Thank you. Wow. It's fantastic to see that so many of you have given so generously. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for those in this community. May they receive your guidance. We pray for those working to help. May they receive your strength and provision. And we pray for these gifts. May they help bring some light into these communities that are often shrouded in darkness. We pray in your name. Amen. We join to sing, Son of God, Eternal Savior. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are able to help people. We thank you that every day people work hard for the needs of others. Lord, we thank you. But we also realize that there is more that needs to be done. Send your Spirit to inspire us, Lord. We also realize that we are also in need. When the path of life becomes rocky, God, please stabilize us. Whenever we feel that we are suffocated by darkness, God, please be our light. When we stray, God, please help us find our way. Whenever we think that we can climb above your majesty, God, please catch us when we fall. Whenever we feel that we are trapped and lost our freedom, God, please be the key that will set us free. And when we feel that we are lost and alone, God, please be there beside us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We will now continue our worship by taking the offertory. Lord, we pray for the money that has been received. that it may be used according to your will. We also pray for the money that we keep for ourselves, that it may help us live according to your will. Amen. Our final hymn is God is Love, Here's the Care. As we go from this building, go to your homes with humility. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be exalted. Go in peace of Christ, that those who feel unworthy may look upon you and see a sign of the kingdom. Amen.